Well, let's take our Bible this morning. If you would, we'll turn to the book of Ephesians today. And we're in chapter number 6 as we pick up today in verse number 5. As we think about the nation of America and celebrating our freedoms that God has so wonderfully blessed us with, it's interesting how that this week is the 4th of July, and I'm sometimes amused at how God works and amazed at in the study of His Word. Sometimes you'll be reading a certain passage at a certain time in your life, and He will speak to you in a certain way. And today we have worked through, as we've seen in the book of Ephesians, the things of God. We've talked about in the book, of course, we looked at the matter of the church in Ephesians 4, how that each one of us are called. We talked about that calling, of course, of God being in a sense of employment, to the Lord. We're called to salvation, and then we're called to service. Then we saw how that the responsibility of the home, how important that is. We celebrated Father's Day just a week or so back, and we talked about the father, we talked about the mother prior to that, the wife being submissive to the husband and the responsibility of the father. And now we're looking today at the responsibility of the people, and I could say as a nation in a sense, because we've seen this in America, the workplace. And it's interesting how that God has these things. Of course, God has an order. He's over all things. There is the church, there is the home, and there's the workplace. And today we're looking at the matter of the workplace. Ministering in the workplace is what I titled the message today, and we'll pick up in verse number 5. It says there in Ephesians 6, 5, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of any persons with him." Let's pray once again. Father, we ask you to bless your word as we allow the Holy Spirit to administer it to our lives individually, as a people, as a person, corporately as a people. And Lord, may we take with this the things that we see, apply them to our life, and make a difference, Lord, in this day and age in which we live. Father, we'll honor thee and thank thee for what you do. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Interestingly enough, we're looking at this portion of Scripture as we think about, again, the nation of America. When we think about America and how God blessed this nation, it began as a Christian nation. Our founding forefathers, of course, were Bible-believing Christians. And as they made their way here and this nation began to be established with its government, the principles of government were founded upon the Word of God, and God has blessed our nation. And as I looked into this text of what we would be looking at as of this day, I'm reminded of how mankind, in his ability to work, and how he has presented himself throughout Scripture, and how that God has blessed the believer. And we see that as a people. We talk about America being a Christian nation. I would to God that it were, and I'm not saying that it isn't. But if we were, as a people, back to the principles of God, we really need a revival, people. If there are that many Christians in this nation, some must be revived. And there are a lot who need to be saved. They're not believers, they're not Christians, and this nation as a whole has been blessed as a result of that. I won't look at all of the scripture today. I'll give you some scripture chapters, verse you may want to jot down, but you go back to the beginning where God created man in the garden. In chapter 2 and verse 15, we find that God placed Adam over the garden. And Adam's responsibility was to tend the garden. Now, this is before the curse of sin. We see that God created man. We saw that. We've looked at the husband and the wife and how that God has an order and he created the husband and the wife. That's the home. And now we're looking at the workplace. In this workplace, it was a joy that Adam dressed the garden. Remember, there was no curse of sin at the time, and things were blooming and blossoming and growing, and God put him in this perfect environment. And what we find is that Adam worked with his hands. And it is a blessing to be able to labor for the Lord. And by the way, we see this in just a moment, that whatever we do it as unto the Lord, as a believer. And with that, we find that Adam, of course, enjoyed the garden. Oftentimes I say, I think God created that in man or mankind, where that we have this desire to do whatever we see that God would have us to do, whatever type of work or whatever God gifts you with it, as far as ministry and ministering to others. And with that, there comes this sense of joy or peace, whereby that when we walk away from whatever that job or responsibility is that God has for you and for me, there's a sense of joy. There's a sense of fulfillment. That you have accomplished what you set out to do, whether it's on a daily basis or a weekly basis. Sometimes we work on projects for a long time before we see the end result of that. But even in a long process of whatever it may be, there's joy of walking away and feeling like you have accomplished what your purpose was that day. And God does put purpose within our life. We find from that account with Adam in Genesis chapter 2, where he's dressing the garden, to where sin comes in. You know the story. Adam fell. He and Eve were put outside of the garden. As a result of the sin, the ground is now cursed. God says, you're going to earn your living by the sweat of your face. In other words, it's not going to be easy. Not that it was easy before, but he enjoyed that and the ease of that. But now there's the thorns and the thistles. The cursed ground is not going to offer up its harvest of things without much labor being put to it. You don't have to be a farmer to sweat in the face. Whatever you put your hand to, you find now as a result of the curse of sin that it's hard. But the desire is still within man to do that and to do a good job. We find where that man from the fall, Cain killed his brother Abel. I'm just kind of giving you some scripture references. In chapter 4, we find that Cain goes out after killing his brother Abel and he's set apart. He builds a city. Interestingly enough, think about that. He's manufacturing something. They're building. They're building cities. They're doing things in a big way. And then, of course, we find that God floods the earth because of the sin of man upon the earth. And on this side of the flood, we find that Noah and his three sons come out of the ark. And it seems, again, man with this desire to build or to do something, man comes together now and begins to build a tower to Babel. In Genesis chapter number 11, we find that. And God comes down, he sees what these men are doing. They're all speaking the same language, and he confuses the language. And the people groups now are scattered. It's Stay with me just a moment. You see how that man left to himself and sin is it can enter in, and nothing productive can be can come as a result of that. There was confusion. The people are scattered. And then we find the calling of God in Genesis chapter 11 to Abraham. He saw a man in the same climate and culture of a pagan worship, false worship. He saw a man who had faith in God. And he called Abraham later out. We find him being changed to Abraham. He called Abram forward from the land of Ur of Chaldees. This is the same area of Babylon, Babel. And he called him out, and Abram responded to God in faith. And God told Abram he would make a nation out of him. And God did. God chose Abram. And of course, his people Israel. Well, from that, we find that God blessed him. And by the way, God says, I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. So God has a people now that he's working through. And this people, Abraham and his promised son, Isaac, God begins to work through this family line. Isaac has two sons. One, of course, is Jacob. And God works through Jacob. And God works through Jacob's 12 sons, the nation of Israel, the 12 tribes. And even in the midst of this, of God working, God blessed Abraham. You remember the story of Abraham and Lot, where God has blessed him with abundance of animals and sheep and goats and cattle. And Lot, his nephew that he was supposed to have left behind, came along with his relative. And he became a thorn, so to speak, in the side of Abraham. Lot had cattle, and they had to divide the cattle because of the size of the abundance of blessings from God. And Lot chose, if you would, the well-watered plains. Now, for a herdsman, the best place would have been the well-watered plains. But Abraham said to Lot, you choose and we'll take the other side. And he chose the well-watered plains. And we find that Lot went off into Sodom and Gomorrah, and he went into sin. His life, if you would, a waste. If Peter hadn't said Lot vexed his righteous soul, we would have thought Lot was lost forever. But God took Abraham and the choosing of the not so fertile area, and God blessed him. And God worked through him. And we find even in the 12 sons of Jacob how that, interestingly enough, we did vacation Bible school and it was on Joseph in Egypt. But through the 11 brothers trying to rid their brother Joseph of a dream that he saw that God had given him, how that God is going to raise up this person into a position. And Joseph, sold into slavery, sold into the Egyptian ways, God had his hand upon this man. And because of his faithfulness, God raised him up. He never forgot God. God put him in a position over a nation, and that nation was over all of the world at one time for the supply of bread. Think about it. God puts people in places for purpose. He puts people in places for purpose so that he may be glorified with what he does through one individual. And now we're talking about employment. Joseph hired, he came up out of the prison to the palace, and now he's over all of the servants, he's over all of Egypt, he's over the bread house, if you would, of the world. And God raises people up into authority. With that thought in mind, I want us to see today, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And now God is working today just as he always had, and he's looking at the servant and the master. Think about that. Joseph was a servant to Potiphar, but then he became his master. I often I've got a kind of strange sense of humor, I guess, but I've thought about it a lot. And I'm mindful, remember that Joseph was lied against is the reason that he was placed into prison. Potiphar's wife lied against Joseph, had Joseph placed in prison. But God brought him up out of prison. He put him in the palace. And now the word is given on the street. When Joseph comes, they're going to sound or herald his coming. And you would have heard, I guess, the trumpet sound or what. And everyone would know, here comes Joseph. And when Joseph comes in the chariot, everyone has to bow down and give honor to Joseph. And my thought is, wonder how Potiphar's wife felt when she bowed down. She lied against him, but now every time he comes by, she's got to bow down to him. Why? Because he's in a higher position. And God put him in that place. You say, how does that? Well, we saw at the end of the book of Genesis where his brothers, after their father Jacob had died, they wondered, what is he going to do with us? Is he going to turn against us now? Was it for our father only that he didn't do us in? And now that he's gone, they look and we see that Joseph says, no. He said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In other words, God allowed him to go through the prison to get to the palace. And sometimes God works that way in our lives. We're going to look at the servant and the master just a moment. We're all servants of God. You're born again, believer, you're a servant of God. Doesn't matter what your position is, you're a servant even though you may be an employer. They're the employees and the employer, but we see that both are under God's care and under his charge. And this is what I want us to go further and look at. As we think about, though, the goodness of the Lord, we can see in Scripture how God blessed and honored his word through his servant. And he's done this in and throughout history. And now we stand today as we celebrate in just a few days the nation, if you would, of liberty and justice that God has given to us. And think with me just a moment. God has allowed this country to be founded based upon his word. It's not because we are a particular people, but it's because of the people who followed the things of God and this nation was established. And folks, God's going to hold this nation accountable for what we do as we think about that. Why? Because he's going to look at the individual and the individual is going to give an account. And then, of course, from that, you're going to find the employer and those that are in charge of the workers are going to give an account. Let's look, if you would, now with these thoughts in mind to verse number 5. He says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now, the masters according to the flesh are those whom God has placed over you. There are people today who are working or have worked for an employer that's not a Christian. And this, by the way, we're talking about the work of the flesh. We're talking about our carnal, the work that we do. We're not talking about spiritual things right now, but we're talking about this carnal thing of the flesh. We have to work. We have to sweat of the brow. That's how we earn a job and earn a living, rather. And it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. You may be working for a person or have worked for a person who's not saved, and it may be very difficult. But what he says now is that the believer is to give authority to those who are responsible over them. And the servant is to be obedient in this place. They're to listen, they're to be obedient unto the master according to the flesh. And how are they to do that? They're to do it with fear and trembling. This is what we see. The discipline, the devotion, the duty of whatever it is that we do, but we're to do it with devotion, with fear and trembling, not to the employer. That's not who we're afraid of. Some may be afraid of the employer. But what we're looking at is we're to do this with fear and trembling as unto the Lord. See, God is watching what you and I are doing. And we're talking about the Christian at the workplace. God sees where you are. He sees what you are enduring. And we're to do this with fear and trembling as unto the Lord. In other words, whatever job it is that you have or have had, think with me. Many of you have retired, but we're still working, right? You say, well, I don't have a job, but you're still working. You're working at home. You're working to keep things going around the house. You're doing something, and we're to do this with fear and trembling. In other words, God is looking at everything that you and I are doing. And we're to do it with singleness of heart. That's wholeheartedly, we might say. That's putting our heart into it. Whatever it is that we're doing, we're to do it to our best ability. Why? Because God's watching. Think with me again. I've made the analogy of this great nation. Do you think the workplace has changed today? You don't have to answer that. People used to put their heart into whatever they were doing. It didn't really matter. I'm not saying that there aren't those doing that today. But what if we all did? What if we as a nation were doing those things? And back again, we as a nation, many years back, there were more Christians per se than today. People were putting their hearts into whatever they were doing. They were giving it their best. They understood what this scripture said. Folks, this is why we need to preach another word of God. It's not about all the music and about the drama and about all of these other things. We need to get back to what the scripture says. If we as a people got back as a servant to the employer and the employer to the employer, God Almighty, we'd see a change in things, folks. And what we need more than anything really is talking about these things. What is made in the USA? We need to be talking about how it's made in the USA. See, we used to build stuff in this nation when people were serving their employer as they were serving God. They put their whole heart into it. Some said, well, I was paid for a 40-hour week, but I stayed and worked till I finished what I was doing. You've heard those stories. Why? Because they put their heart into it. They put their everything into it, and we had products that lasted much longer than they do now. And we can't blame it on the world. What do you expect from the world? We see what God has done with the world. Cain built cities. Where are they? Other places these things happen. Where are they? They're all gone. But look at the work of the Lord. See, and God honors that. So servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. In other words, whatever you and I do, we are to do it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. How did he complete his work? Well, we know that someone said, well, he's God. Yes, he is. But he was obedient to the will of the Father. He humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a man. He was tired. He was weary. But he did his work according to the things of God. And this is what he said in Mark chapter 10 and verse number 45. Jesus said, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come that some would take care of him, but he came to take care of others, and he put his whole heart into it. And that's what he expects for each one of us to do. We're to be servants, and by the way, that word servant to begin with in verse number 5, the Greek word is doulos. A doulos is a servant that has a master this servant has willfully chosen to continue to serve this master. In most cases, a servant could be hired for a certain period of time, especially within the Jewish realm. You remember there were those who could sell themselves into slavery, and every seventh year, which was the sabbatical year, they would be released according to the Jewish faith. And then there were those who sold themselves into slavery. And by the way, we're talking about employment. Employer, you say, well, I'm not a slave. But the scripture says the borrower is a slave to the lender. Many people today are working to do what? They're working to pay off bills that they have done what? That they have borrowed from others. So you say what you please, but we're a servant to others. But the doulos was a servant who had completed the work of the requirement, and the master had set them free, and they had chosen to continue to work for that master. Why? Because that master was a good master. Paul used this word concerning himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, they would mark the ear of the worker. They would mark their ear and allow them to say, I am a slave or a servant to this particular person. And what that mark meant oftentimes was that that person must have a wonderful master. Anybody that would choose to keep working for him, and that's what Paul said regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my master. I'm his servant. I wear the mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm willing to let the world know that he's my master. I'm not ashamed of him. And what he says is this one Christ is looking at whatever you and I are doing on whatever job site we're working. Sometimes we don't look at it this way, and we should, that God is in control of all things, and the very workplace where God has you or where you are working, you are a representative for him at this given time. It doesn't mean that your employer is a Christian. It doesn't mean that God may not open a door somewhere else, but right now you're the representative that this employer sees, or those who have charge over you. They're looking at you, and when you do your job well as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be rewarded. We'll see this in just a moment. But this is what the servant is to do, is to be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. You're to do it with fear and trembling, in singleness of heart as unto Christ. He says in verse number 6, not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, we don't get busy when the boss shows up. When the employer looks to see what you've done, don't get real busy and try to act like you've been doing this all along when you haven't. You don't do it with eye service, watching to see when he's coming. You do it as if he's watching at all times, because we know that the Lord Jesus is. And he says, but as servants of Christ, we're to do it knowing that God is looking at what we're doing. You know, think about the workplace again. I'm not on a stump this morning about America and its workplace, but when did we get away from doing these kind of things in our own country? Many people say, well, we sold out our jobs to China, or we sold out our work to somewhere else. Why? Because we didn't want to work. Is it not now that we need work in our own place? Do we not have the resources, people? I'm not trying to be facetious in any way, but does America need to or we're trying to bring in resources to build what God's blessed us with? I've often thought about it. I'm not the smartest guy, but you take Japan, world's auto production. I'm not against Toyotas or Honda, but what kind of resources do we have on that island? It's an island. So they take the resources, and I'm not condemning them from that. I'm just saying we're looking at a situation. They take in the resources. They produce the cars. We've got the resources. We've got the workers. What are we doing, folks? We need to get back to the scripture. We need to get back to work. We need to get up and put our hands to the task, whatever it is. We need to be working. Why? Because God gave us that ability. And this is not just in the workplace. I'm talking about the secular. I'm talking about in the ministry as well. There are plenty of ministers who want everyone else to do everything for them. They're just going to read the Bible and give you a little sermonette. No, we need to stay with the things. It goes with all of us. We need to do the very best we can. We need to do it as if God is looking at everything that we're doing, because we're going to give an account for him. And he says, doing the will of God from the heart. See, this is God's will. Evidently, where you are at this point in your walk of faith and wherever you're working at this time, this is God's will for your life. And you're to give it your all. He says in verse number 7, with good will doing service as unto the Lord, not unto men. Why do you do what you do? Why do you finish off this job and look at it and walk away with joy? Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. I've heard in employers through the years say, speaking of someone, they say, that's the best employee I ever had. He or she was, they were the best. We wouldn't be where we are today without this person or these people. And we've seen and heard some of the stories in the past of how great companies, you're talking about Christian companies, by the way, prospered under the things of God because the employer practiced what you and I are looking at. The employees practiced the same principles, and the company flourished. And people were taken care of. You know, we look at America again. And now the people are being taken care of not to work. We need to get back to the workforce. We need to get back to the things of God. We need to put our whole heart into it. We need to put our hands into it. We need to get busy for the Lord. And that we need to do it with, he says, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Then he says in verse number 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now this person, whether a slave or whether not a slave, bond of course being a slave or not a slave, that's not the matter. It's how the person conducts themselves. And knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, he's going to receive a reward for that. Remember, God's watching. God is going to reward you and me one day in glory for how we've worked for him on the job site. Think about that. You say, well, I didn't earn much at the place where I worked and where I was employed. I barely got by. No, but how you conducted your work and what you did, God's going to honor you. And that reward will be forever. The Lord's going to reward you. I know there are those that are putting in more hours than what they're getting paid for. They're doing a hard job that no one else would do sometimes, covering for those who are lazy. But God's watching, and he promises he's going to take care of that, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, the word of God there says, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. In other words, whatever we put our hand to, this goes beyond the workplace, by the way. It comes back to the home. Think about the child growing up in the home. They begin to do some of the labor around the house. The husband, the wife, whatever it is that we're doing in the church, wherever we're working, whatever it is that God has asked us to do, he's watching and he's going to reward us for that. Put your whole heart into it. Give it your best. God deserves the best, doesn't he? The Lord came to minister, not to be ministered to, and if he came to minister to others, that's what he wants us to do. Knowing that what we do, he's going to repay in time. Whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. You know, the scripture talks about giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord. He sees that. He honors that. He's going to take care of that. Whatever we do in the name of the Lord. Why, we might ask sometimes, why do you do what you do? Why do you do what you do? Well, if you understand that God's watching, and folks, it puts a joy in your heart. I'm not saying that you're not doing it and haven't done it. I'm saying, isn't it wonderful to be able to serve the Lord? It's a blessing. It's a blessing to have the health and the ability. You may not be doing what you like as much as you would like to do something else. God knows that and he sees that, but this is where he has you. So stay with it. He'll open the door at the right time. God moves people around. Think again about Joseph. Joseph's in prison, remember? He's in prison for what? Well, it really was sold into slavery because God had given him a dream, but it's the dream that brought him up out of the prison, right? You remember the story? again, Vacation Bible School. Two people were down in the prison with him. Both of them had a dream. One guy's dream was not so good. The other guy, he did fair with his. One was raised up to his position. The other was raised up by the head. He got out of prison, but they raised his head further, put him to death. And then the guy that lived and was put back in a position, when Pharaoh has a dream, this guy says, oh, by the way, so there's a man in prison said he's able to interpret dreams. So Pharaoh sends for Joseph and he pulls him out of the pit. That's the way it is sometime in the workplace. We're down in the pit and we wonder, when is he going to take us out? Well, I thought I would have got the promotion, but you don't get it. Don't get discouraged. Stay with it. The timing may not be right. Folks, timing is everything to God. Time means nothing to him. The scripture says there's a 1,000 years are like a day to the Lord. It means a lot to us, but timing is everything. God brings things about at a certain time according to his schedule. So knowing that whatever you're doing, don't get discouraged. Stay with it. Stay there. God's not through. Somehow God worked and is working in and through whatever you're doing, maybe to demonstrate to someone else. I don't know if you've ever had that asked before. Why do you do what you do? Well, I do it because I'm doing it as unto the Lord. You must really enjoy this job. I've heard that said 1,000 times to people. They said, no, to tell you the truth, I hate it. Matter of fact, I didn't go to school for this. I went to college and got a degree in this, but I'm over doing this now. And some people say, I love it. I thought when I graduated I would be doing this, and tell you the truth, that's not my calling. I found that God wants me over here. And folks, that's all right. He's God. He knows the best place for you, and he knows the place to put you at the best place so he can receive the honor and glory for it. Then we find in verse number 9, he goes to the employer or the master, and he said, ye masters, do the same unto them, forbearing, threatening. In other words, you've got to be good to your employee as your employee is good to you, forbearing, threatening. In other words, you can't go down and threaten them. If you don't do this, I'm going to fire you. No, we're not going that route. He said, you're to do the same unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. He says, neither is there respect of any persons with him. Talking about God, there's no respect with God between the employer or the employee. Think about that this morning. You may have worked at a business that was a thriving business with many staff over the business, however it is, more than just one person. And when we stand before the judgment seat of God as believers of Christ, the ground's level. It doesn't matter if you were an employer or an employee. When he hands out the rewards for service, they're going to be the same. And this service that's given, this reward for the service, is going to last forever. It's not going to be temporary. It's going to be something that God is going to do. Jesus will reward us at the bema judgment, and this reward will last forever. God's not no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter. Now, as an employer, you're more responsible in some ways. He's looking. But the reward comes from the Father. In a misuse of a power and authority, bullying people, taking advantage of them, one day that's going to return. God doesn't matter. He doesn't care who's in charge or how much they have or what. This is temporary, what we're seeing in the workforce, in the workplace, but the reward is forever. Think about that this morning. How we serve the Lord and what we do for the Lord, it will have eternal benefits, and Christ will reward us. As I close this morning, I'm looking at again our nation as we celebrate our liberty. I think it's possible for America to come back as a people and to honor God better than it's doing. I love this nation. I thank God for the people that suffered and shed their lives, many, for our freedoms. I understand that God is the reign of Christ will be a theocracy where God is over everything. But God can work in and through His people today. And we can make a difference in this world in which we live. If we put our hearts into it, whatever it is that we're doing, do it as unto the Lord. Give our all to Him. He deserves our very best, doesn't He? And there's no way, let me say this in closing, there's no way to give it your all if you don't know Him in a personal way. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. Christ died for your sins. He wants you to be saved. But you can't serve Him that way apart from being in faith and salvation in Christ. But now once we're saved, our faith is your faith, our faith, our salvation is all in Christ, it's one. We've seen one body, talking about one soul, one spirit, all in Christ. From that, He's able to give us the ability to serve Him in whatever capacity He puts us for us to do our very best. And He wants to reward us for that. So let's stay with it. Folks, let's stay with it. You may say, I've retired from my job, but you're a testimony with what you do and how you conduct yourself in everyday life. Let's stand together today, if you would. Bow our heads and hearts before the Lord this morning. I wonder if you would pray as I would pray this morning. God, help me to be a better testimony for you. Not saying that what you're doing isn't giving honor to the Lord, but let's ask God to help us to shine brighter. Lord, give us a little oomph in our spirit this morning. Encourage our hearts today, Lord, with these words. To help us to see, Lord, that whatever we're doing at this very present time is very important to you. We may not have a job. We may be looking for a job. We may be looking for another place of employment. But God, you know where we are in our walk of faith. And I pray, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts to do our best until you open another door. And Father, that when we stand before you at the day of reckoning, at the day of reward, that we might hear from our Lord and Savior, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy. Enter into the joy. And Father, we'll praise you for all that you do, for we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.